Israel is the kind of a people that you can't tell them nothing to the extent of what their conviction is. They're going to do what they want to. And being overconfident as to the last war, the six-day war, whereas I pointed out to you the other day how that it was God that sent the sand in. I read it. And the sand heaped up and stopped the enemy from overthrowing Israel. They would have overthrown Israel. And God fought for them as in the days of Joshua. And that's what won the war. But anyway, you can't tell Israel anything. If they get the feeling to do a thing, it doesn't matter what you say, they're going to do it. And, of course, Israel is the ones that's to bring the end of the world. Because Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world as to this great revival, this salvation, these great ministries, then he said, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? So when Israel starts awakening, then that's the end of the world. And that's where it's at. So then when I say a climax, I look beyond that. That is the signs of the time fulfilling there, and we can tell that that is the end of the world. But I'm not just looking at the signs of the time, whereas you and I both should be able to discern the signs of the time. The Bible said if you cannot discern the signs of the time, then are you hypocrites. Or Jesus said hypocrites or in hypocrisy. Because he said you can discern the signs of the weather. And you can say that if the clouds are red and lowering in the morning, that it's going to be foul weather. But if it's red and lowering in the evening, he said, you know, you're going to have good weather. So thus you discern the signs of the weather. He said, but hypocrites, religious people, but not talking with the Lord, not communicating with the Lord. He said, because you cannot discern the signs of the time. So there are signs of the time, and the Bible teaches that we'll know when it's nigh, even at the door. So through Christ, I discern the signs of the time, but it's not just the signs of the time that we're speaking of. It is, I'm looking at a revelation, a hidden mystery that is day by day revealed to me. And yesterday I saw such immeasurable steps of God as he unveiled the hidden mystery. The apocalypse, the hidden mystery of God, that is to say the secret. That's the Greek rendering. But whatever, I'm watching it day by day. And yesterday I saw great, wonderful, phenomenal things. And we're right there, folks. All of us. We're right there at the closing out of the age as to a great climax, as to a great finale, or the great finals, as we say. We're right there at the great finale, and something is about to take place. We talk about it here, we talk about it day after day, and whether we consider ourselves fortunate or not, we are fortunate in that he would let us know some things about it. We're fortunate. And, of course, we come back this morning to talk about it. I'm not sure as to whether we're going to be here tonight or not. I'm not sure. I haven't mentioned it to my wife. She's amazed. She always is at me. But I'm really not sure. The Lord had spoke to me about something this morning. And I started mentioning it to my wife, and I didn't mention it. I thought maybe I'd mention it after service. But I might not be here tonight. But service will still be going on. The Lord will still be here doing something tonight, as always. And sometimes the Lord speaks to us to leave the 99 that's saved in the fold to go look for the stray. That we're getting ready, if it be the will of the Lord, we're getting ready to have a tent meeting or two. Haven't had any so far, but if the good Lord's will, we're going to have tent meeting or two. Sister Betty, she's been real disturbed over it. She wanted to know if I was going to have any at all. But we're going to have some if the Lord will. Brother Cartridge and Brother Cornelius returned from the boat yesterday. And I'm informed that so far as our ship, it's ready to go. Still a few things that we need to do to it mechanically. And they had a fire to break out on it, which they put out pretty quick. Didn't burn up nothing. And Tony's going to have to go down. The electrical situation. On boats, you have numbers of fires. And, of course, here you have numbers of fires. But our people have been real alert in both places to save lives and to save our investment or God's properties. A few things we still need to do, and I'm not going to enumerate those things, but we still need to do those things. And there's some deterioration, of course. We need to do something about that. The ship that's down in Ampelite, and we're trying to get a few things done on that. I'm still impressed with that. I need to do some things. And then, of course, you're on the home front. We're getting a few things done on the home front. Not what I'd like to get done, but we're at least getting a few things done here. I have enough men that, and ladies, that if they work with me, I could just, well, we could just get it done in just short order, as we say. But we only have a few out of the many that hath a mind to work and that hath a concern about godly things and those things that we're trying to do to win souls or to lay up treasures in heaven. Very few. We don't have too many that wants to invest in it of their time or their substance or anything else. God always takes the fishes and loaves and he multiplies them and it comes out in a great, wonderful way as to our advantage. So we're still getting the job done. Appreciate probably 8 or 10 of the brethren that went out on a church job yesterday that help us in that way. And others are trying to do the same things. Matter of fact, Brother Hollis came to me, and Brother Hollis was telling me that God had blessed him with something, said, if he does see this through, then I want to do certain things. And he made mention of some things, and he went back to his job and then returned again to talk to me. And when he did, he said, Brother Pike, according to what he told me, it had tripled, that God had tripled it, and already it was a big project. I don't know, maybe I got this wrong. Maybe $250,000 or more. I got that wrong. Half. Yeah, I didn't think I had that wrong. It was $500,000. His job, the Lord had turned to him now, a job about $500,000. So, and it looks favorable. As a matter of fact, they told him he already has it. Could be a freakish thing that might turn up, but they told him that he did get the job. So he wanted to do something for God. And of course, that's what makes the difference, is when you want to do something for God. A lot of people, they say, well, if I had, I would do, but they don't do with what they already have. So that God don't bless them, you don't have a chance to bless them. I've learned that, you know, just some of you boys out there, you get out there and you already have a few muscles. And then you give them to pumping iron, as they say. And because you give, you receive. And the more you give to the iron, the bigger the muscle gets. And that's the way it is with God. See, as it is in the natural, so as it is in heaven. The more that you do for God, the bigger your spiritual muscles get. And those natural men, they build every muscle of their body. You know, they want it to be so-so. And they spend a lifetime doing it. But as I've said many times, that's only a type of the spiritual man. You see people that they call the most perfect developed man and women and all these kind of things and parades and shows and they win trophies and whatever. But see, the sons of God, that's only a type of the eternal bodies and eternal substance of the sons of God. And the sons of God who are willing, and the sisters of God who are willing to exercise every potentiality of their body in godliness, to know this and to understand that and to say this and to be this and to go thus, they become heaven's most perfect developed bodies, as we say. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, you'll see this in magazines and all kind of things as to some this measure, that measure. But as to whatever you give yourself to God to be, thus you become the full measure of the most perfect man, Jesus Christ. The full measure of the perfect stature. That's what we would like to do. So as I say, we don't get the job done a lot of times like we'd like to get it done, the way we would like to get it done, as soon as we'd like to do it, because I have too many people that are short-sighted. Though they're religious and they believe, but they're short-sighted. I have a great admiration for Chris, in the sense that Chris is doing a book for me. And it's a sermon I preached. The ladies took it off. Someone. And Chris is a great spiritual meaning in him doing the book. And he's been diligent. He stays there for hours and hours and hours. While the others are just running to and fro and looking for refreshment, he just stays right there for hours and hours trying to do something for God. One of the reasons is he comes from a hard country, that is of sufferings, poverty, and he knows the desperation. And he knows that he's not been acquainted with the plush side of life as you are, as to the conveniences and having everything so-so, or just, you know. So he stays with his job. He stays with his job. And within a little while, the way he's going, he'll be through and ready to start on another book. This one that he's doing is The Thunders. And then he is considering doing Little Glass Slipper. Little Glass Slipper will soon be off of the press. We've been out of Little Glass Slipper, but it'll soon be off the press. And we'll have some more because of the labor and efforts of people like Steve and Brother Pete and, there's a number of others, Brother Don and Brother Chuck, there's ones that's really labored with us. And, of course, there's numbers of others involved because you've bought paper and you've shared with us those things. I want to do something for the Lord. I watch the wonderful things of God, and the end is here. The end is here. Believe it or not, the end is here. And you're going to see things change like you've never seen in your life. Already they've changed since we've made statements concerning that. And you that have felt like in a spirit of lethargy as to unconcern, you're going to have something to move over you that's going to scare you and shake you. And you're going to begin to move in, and you're going to begin to think, Lord, all this I thought didn't matter does matter. All these little foxes have spoiled my vines. And you're going to begin to consider, and you're going to begin to think, well, I thought it was that way, but I know it ain't that way. And my God, have mercy on me. I'm going to get straightened out here. And see, I can get some echoes back there already. And some of you are going to become blinder than you've ever been in all of your life. You're going to become blind, and you're going to become hard, and you're going to become callous, and you're just going to be cut off. Just completely cut off. How many know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something, folks. So easy to do wrong and not to do the right thing and be selfish and be just as religious as Cain was and be nothing but a hindrance and a stumbling block in the way of your brother or sister to the extent that they can't find their way. Blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Somebody who's not always saying something to someone or about someone or always scornful in their attitude as to being a critic. The Bible said, blessed is that man. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, and neither does he stand in the way of sinners. For if ye sit in the seat of the scornful, then do ye stand in the way of sinners. But blessed is the man that don't do that. The Bible said that his mind and desire is in the Lord, and in his laws doth he meditate day and night. That's the man that's like the tree that's planted by the water that will bring forth his fruits in his season, and his leaves won't wither. All right, I'm going to ask you one more time. If you're going to sit on the front seat, pay attention. If you don't, for Christ's sake, get in the back and sit down. If you're going to wander around, I don't mean to rebuke you. I'm telling you in love, because I'm going to have the ushers to come down from where they're at, man or woman, and come to you. I'm going to instruct them just to walk down real polite, not to interrupt the service, and come over to you and tell you that they would like for you to move to the back. So if you don't want to be embarrassed, I'm asking you to do this. And mothers and daddies, I'm asking you once again to do this, because it seems to be some of the same ones over and over, and the same ones cause me problems in other capacities of life. All over the campground, the same ones that cause me trouble in here, I find out that when they're away from me, they do ugly things and cause me so much problem on the campground. And already the judgments of God has begun to strike just since I asked them not to do this and told them not to do this. And they're doing it anyway. There's a brother that's standing here. And he came and told me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, some of the people have been raising up over in my neighborhood and saying things, and said they've been in good health, and all of a sudden, he says, one of them has been found with lung cancer, one of them has been found with a tumor of the brain, and one of them has been found with something else. I don't remember what it was. And I just got another report of somebody else that was saying things and doing things, and death has begin to strike them. And so many of them, they come to me every day with numbers of them, of things that's happening or people or whatever. And the judgments of God is just continually falling, just continually. See, people have come into the knowledge of the truth, and they know better than to do it now. And God isn't sparing them. As a matter of fact, the same brother, I was intending to mention this to Betty, told me of a sister that Sister Betty knows, that she has been saying things contrary to us in the past. And she's also, from what they understand, has taken cancer. Don't do it, folks. For God's sake, don't do it. The very minute that the man made his proclamation as to his own life and way of life, the Bible speaks of that in the Bible. So the worms struck him just like that and eat him up the very minute. It's just like you give place to a devil. It's like letting a fly in, and the fly goes right straight over here to the bread or to the food and lands on it, and you shoo him off. But the speck is still there to bring the worm. It's still there. I can't hardly stand them things. You know, in the natural, it's still there. He specks it. And when that devil, you give place to him, and he comes over and he touches you because of your lips saying things that you ought not. Whereas the Bible said, if you'd see long life and good days, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. To bridle the tongue. No man can control the tongue. It's a little member. And the Bible said it's set on fire by the course of hell. See, bridle the tongue. Don't let that thing come over and touch you, because the speck is there. You might shoo it off and you might go along real good and say, praise God, I'm all right. But the speck is there. The cancer's coming. The heart problem's coming. The trouble's coming. Whatever the disease is coming, because you've said the wrong things. And you've let your eyes, the Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes. When people notice the newspapers and the magazines and the televisions and different things out in the world of nudeness and that on the depraved side of life. When you notice this, somebody says, well, to me, they say, that ain't wrong. You're just eccentric or you're just fanatical. And they say, that little old thing, I don't see that. I'm still believing I'm on my way to heaven. I'm still going to heaven. You can be seated. I'm sorry. We're going to sing another chorus, but looks like I'm going to say a few things here. I run into a little ripple in the water there. So, you know, when we say, well, I don't see it like that. Everybody's got their own religion. Everybody, you know. I love to hear Brother Pike talk, but when it comes to my salvation, I don't see anything wrong with them. So the fly specks the bread. And the lust of the eyes, you give away to it. When you're taught to shun the very appearance of evil, even in your thoughts, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus, to meditate in his laws day and night. That don't give you time to gaze at anything else, does it? Like somebody yesterday, they came to visit with us, and I hope you don't mind me talking to you a little. They came to visit with us, and the sister, of course, was informing me how that one of the big three, as they call them, among the Brother Branham followers, said I was a false prophet. And as I told them, I thought that was outstanding because, from what I understood, they didn't believe in no other prophets. But they didn't believe there was any. But anyway, I talked with a sister a little bit there at the house, Sister Betty and them, and I finally talked with the lady's husband, and he said, you know, so the striking thing is that this man that said that, said he come to me and told me, said I'm a Bulldog fan. And wanted him to get interested in the Bulldogs. And of course, the man teaches that there's two souls. He's got a special message. He said, God give him that there's two souls. That you've got two souls. And all I ever read about was that God breathed into his breath into man, and man became a living soul. That's the only word I have of. But anyway, he says he's got a great revelation. But I thought about it, you know, this man is supposed to be one of the most outstanding leaders. But his mind is on the Bulldogs. The fly has specked the bread. It's little wonder that he would call this false. For already Satan hath blinded his eyes. For the love of the world be in you, the love of the Lord is not there, and of course the Bulldogs is, how do you know that's part of the world? I only said that to again say this, that if you're going to be godly, the Bible said add to your experience godliness, patience, meekness, brotherly love, long-suffering, charity, all these things that you be not barren. Some persons say, well, this isn't necessary, Brother Pike. Well, it's like taking a trip from here to California in an automobile. It's not necessary to fill your car up with enough fuel to make the trip or to provide the money where you can get it along the way in case you give out. It's not necessary to do that. You don't have to do that. You got vehicle. You've got fuel, so you can just get on your way. It ain't necessary to do that. But down the road, you're going to find yourself stranded. You're going to find yourself cut off. You're going to find out that you didn't have what you needed to make your trip with. And like the vision of the man that kept cutting off his cross, it didn't seem to him like it was necessary to carry such a heavy load. He could be just as religious. He could find the favor of the preacher. He could do the things that the church world was doing and still get a little in on the side with the world. But like the vision said, when he got down to Jordan, when death moves in and you go to span that great place of that great gulf, he said his cross wouldn't make it. He found out that his cross was the bridge that took him over, and he run short. It wouldn't reach over the Jordan. So see, it's not necessary. You can do what you want to. You can have a lot of prestige and importance and money and or education and fame and popularity. You can be a dignitary. Or you can be whatever you want to. But you'll find out that the policy is every thought belongs to him. And he wants it. And he's waiting for it. And if you have one thought that is in any other direction, then you haven't come to the full maturity of what he asked for. So then I don't have time to think on my family, and I don't have time to think on eating and drinking and frolicking and my plans and my programs and whatever. I must meditate in his laws day and night. If I think about my family, then I must think of my son in this way. Oh my God, I wish he was a Christian. Lord, don't let him go to hell. Father, help me to do something for him that he might find Christ. If I think on my wife, I must think of her as I hope that she'll be a holy, godly, pure woman, that she won't betray me in her mind, and that she will walk side by side with me, and that together we can win souls, and that you'll be good to her and bless her with health for such. If I think on land, I must think, Lord, if I purchased that land, I wonder what I could do with that for God. Is there some way now that that would benefit you and your kingdom or help your people? Or if I build a house, Lord, is this for your sake, that I should be able to do something for you in some way? Whether it's my automobile, whether it's whatever, I must meditate in his laws day and night. I must bring every thought into subjection, always thinking on Jesus. Everything must be for him, and I must never at any time get loose in my mind. The Bible said, be sober, casting down imagination, be sober. Everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, do away with it. Be sober, for your adversary, the devil, he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So be sober. Gird up your loins with truth and be sober, because Satan is going to get you. I have people, you know, I talk with them, and they boast of salvation, how that they've got old Slewfoot, they call him. And he can't bother them. He don't give them a hard way. And while they're talking, I'm standing there listening to Slewfoot, as they call him. He's the chief spokesman in their life. I just look at him with pity, because they did not believe the truth. And the truth, of course, is what I'm telling you. Then God turned them over to reprobate mind, to send them strong delusions, to cause them to believe a lie and be damned. And they're full of iniquity and the bewitching powers of Lucifer, and don't have enough sight to know anything about it. Well, there you are. I didn't mean to get in such a long thing talking about doing something for God, but truthfully it is, you know, we do need to do something for the Lord. And I need more help. If I had the full potentiality that God has placed at Bethlehem as to do what I need to do and what I'd like to do, we could have everything working for God, and we could have the tents up and just going right along. Because of what I feel the Lord would have me to do, I think I'll do it this way. Chapter 11, the book of Ecclesiastes, which is, of course, the writings of Solomon. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a potion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Somewhere in the morning, Danny came in. Well, he came in just after 12. But anyway, he came in. And he told me these two people was out there on the road. And, of course, you know, you think, well, what's that to me? It's 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever. And I could tell Danny was concerned, but he was going on to bed. He'd picked him up and rode him a little ways from town out to where he turned off here. And I thought, well, that's bad. You know, and the flesh says, well, nothing to worry about. They'll catch a ride and they'll go on in, you know. And what's that to you? You need to rest. And, you know, they got plenty of life to live. Let them go on. It's probably good for them anyway, you know. God's processing them. That's why he's got them out there. And then when all that finished, you know, the Lord said, well, now what will you do? So, well, ain't nothing to do but get up, dress, go out there and do something for him. So I got out of bed. We went out there and we done something for him. Now, he says, give a potion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. It's so easy to pass up people in a nice, comfortable car on a hot day or rainy day, whatever it might be, you know, and sometimes you need to because there's danger. And it's so easy to live in our own houses and be comfortable and not share anything at all and just lay up treasures and convenience and comforts that people are going to gullibly swallow up after our departure are the things that Solomon said that we've gotten, who knows but what it'd be left to a fool and they'll squander it. So easy for us just to sit back and do our thing, you know, and not pray and not fast and not consider the needs of others and be selfish and die and go to hell. And have Jesus to say, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick in prison. You didn't visit me. See, it's so easy for us to do that. But if we stop to put ourselves in the place of others as to the pain, the misery, as to the oppression, as to the troubling way of life that that individual is encountering at that very particular moment, then we feel different and we want to go do something about it. Same way with your child and my child. We consider one another. If we love one another, consider one another's children. The Bible said to look on the things of another, to desire, or that is to seek the things of another and not the things of your own. But see, we're so selfish that we seek the things of our own. That's all we think about. We think about who I am and what I am and where I want to go and what I want to be and what I did yesterday and what I can do tomorrow and what I am today and how much I got and how much more I need and where I ought to put it and what I ought to do with it, how I ought to spend it, and how can I hold on to it. All of this is vanity, 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 saith the preacher. And that the preacher, brother, our brother, as we say, Solomon is the one that wrote this. The preacher who in his old age lost out. See, with all this wisdom, he still lost out with God because the very things that God told him not to do and he knew not to do, he went and did them anyway and told everybody else not to do it. And in the end, confessed how that a man is a fool to do it after that he had done it all. So he knew both sides of the thing, as we say. See, we don't want to give of our strength. We don't want to give of our time. We don't want to give of our substance. We just don't want to be bothered with it. You know, we're busy. We've got things to do. But the thing is, God doesn't look at it like that, folks. He doesn't like it at all. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Not to be a church member. Not to join the church. Not to go to church somewhere. Not to say that you are a Christian. Not to shout. Not to dance. Professing Christianity and going around telling everybody you're such and such. To dress in certain kind of clothing. Or to wear your hair a certain way as to cut or not cut it, or whatever it might be, that is not pure and undefiled religion. You can do all of those things and have absolutely nothing. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is one thing, even this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that. I know that. I believe that, Brother Pike. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if you believe that, you would go to heaven. Because faith comes by the hearing of the word. And if you believe that, that would be the word and you would go to heaven. And somebody says, but Brother Pike, I believe that. Jesus said to the rich young ruler to keep the commandments. Oh, he said, I believe that. I've done that from my youth up. Jesus could have said to him, why is it that thou hast lied to me? Because Jesus said, well, if you've done that, sell all you've got. Go and give to the poor, and then take up your cross and follow me, because it's for sure you're going to have a cross if you get rid of what you've got. The Bible said he turned away sorrowful. He couldn't do that. He could not do that. For the Bible said he had many valuable things in life, great possessions. He could not do that, which proved he was a liar. He had never kept the commandments. See, because the commandments, even the greatest one that Jesus gave when he was here, was to love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love the neighbor as yourself, then you're going to seek his welfare. And you're going to want to share what you've got with him. If he's on the road, you're going to want to share your car with him to pick him up. And you might have to put him up for a night in a motel. Numbers of times, those things happen. See, God will say, pick him up, and not only pick him up and take him 1,000 miles, but when you get down to the end, look at him. He's been cast into the ditch. He's been beaten, and the priests have passed him, and the preachers have passed him. And he's the man that's the wayfarer. He's been beaten by the enemy. He's been robbed. You might even find the smell of whiskey on his breath, as I did the other day. And Satan, the devils, the thieves, the robbers have bruised him, robbed him of his sanity, robbed him of his dignity, robbed him of everything. Maybe his wife's gone. Maybe his family's gone. See, and you pick him up and say, well, an old bum. My, picked up an old bum. But you take him on, and God says, talk to the old bum. The drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom before the people that fill the church pews. So you talk to him, and when you get so far, he doesn't know where he's going. You say, hey, I thought I'd pick you up and run you up to the next town. He said, well, I'm going to the town after that, and the town after that, and the town after that, and I find out that you're going that way, I'll just ride on with you. And so God gives you plenty of time to talk to him. Happened many times. Many times. And then when you get to the way, end of the way, and you say, well, talk to this old bum, and I've done all I can. You know, I let him out. And God says, no, he's not an old bum anymore. He believed what you said. You just take him over to the inn, and you rent him a place to stay. And you see that he has a good meal, and then you give him a little bit on the side that when he wakes up in the morning, he can sing my praises. Come on, folks. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. That's the way it is. So, it might be months later. It might be years later. And all of a sudden, you get a letter from the old bum. And you find out that he was your brother all the time. He loved the Lord, and God sent you by just for that purpose. So, he says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the cloud be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy creed in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun of the light of the moon of the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, And the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few. And those that looked out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. I want you to stand with me. We could go on and go on talking to you about the wonderful things of God. But I've already talked with you a good little bit here. I want you to consider these things, think about these things, because the end of the world is upon you. Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. The ends of the world is upon you. And the end of the world is upon you. But yet we know that there's more worlds, and the Bible said worlds, plural, worlds without end. So there's some wonderful things that's taking place, and as I said to the brethren yesterday, maybe you don't understand what God's got for you or how great and how mighty it is. But I tell you one thing, to know him is joy unspeakable and is full of glory. Okay, let's sing together, can we? At the cross, where I first saw his light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. One more time. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. It grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along life's way, and all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter. Sing it with me.
It grows sweeter each day. Grows sweeter each day. His love grows sweeter along life's way. And all through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. I found this new place in the heavenlies, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found the new place in God's heavenly. In Jesus Christ, my Lord. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and let's love the Lord. Father, today we're grateful for your wonderful presence and we're grateful for your wonderful children, even the children, the beloved precious children of Almighty God, children, Heavenly Father, who do not have to die, children who love Thee, and their only desire is to love Thee and please their Heavenly Father, who hath given unto them eternal life, and eternal riches, and eternal youth, and eternal health, and eternal happiness, rejoicing in Thee and the beautiful things that You have given unto Your children. Oh, Father, may You bless Your children and may You keep Your children all the days of their life, Heavenly Father. And dear God, when they depart this life and they go to sleep, may they wake up in the morning. Oh, Father, and may we meet them in the morning, all of us meet together in the morning, Father, in that wonderful heavenly place that I saw in the vision the other night. Dear God, forgive our sins. Keep us, move our trespasses. We know that there's no sin to them that are in Thee, Heavenly Father. For Thou hast taken away our sins. And he that is born to Thee keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So then, Heavenly Father, he that is born to Thee cannot sin. So then, being Your children, having passed from death unto life, forgive us our trespasses. And when You chasten us, Thou knowest that we are children. And, O God, remember, when Thou chasten us, it is but a trespass. For we love Thee, Heavenly Father, down deep in our heart. We wouldn't do anything to grieve You nor to hurt You, knowing that You feel our infirmities and You're touched with the feelings of our grief. We wouldn't do anything to hurt You at all. So we ask You to be with us, and we ask You to touch us. Bless us even now, Father, as we gather together in this little gathering this morning to keep us all safe. Take care of our children, our loved ones. Help us, dear wonderful Heavenly Father. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Oh, so happy. Can you sing it with me again? We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll serve the living God. control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy. Can you sing it one more time with me? That has control. And if the rain or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. I want you to lift your hands with me now. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Lynn Lundebo to come up and dismiss us. And while he's praying, I want him to pray for your health, your happiness. Pray for your eternal security as to your soul. Love one another. Seek the welfare of one another. Do something for one another. If you do, you will be a happy, happy person. Eternal life, folks, is everything. There's nothing in this world that you should give your birthright for and in the end be sorry and be tormented. As it has been said, before you give your day and your time to anything, stop and think, Lord, is this worth my day and my time? What is the value of a day as to that? Is this worth me forsaking the good things that I could do? Is it worth that just to obtain that? So then think over that. You know, while our brother comes to pray with you, think over that. You're light. You're great, mighty people. You are gods, the Bible says, that shall never perish. And right now, over across the waters, there are hundreds and thousands and millions of people that would just love to see you come. We get all kinds of letters that begs and pleads with us to come. And they just love to see you come. In Israel, they praised our people. In the islands, they praised our people where they went. And they just love to see you come because it would bring a little ray of sunlight to them, because they're facing the evening shadows. Some of them are facing the evening shadows. And even around the Persian Gulf, many people there, they've had bombs thrown on them, and they're facing the evening shadows. The song said, "In the shadows lengthen fast." They're facing the evening shadows, and you are the light of the world. And they long to see you come to them. Like the song we wrote, I hear those voices calling. I hear them calling to me. I hear those voices calling. Voices far out across the great deep sea. While our brother comes to pray, remember us in prayer. If we're not here with you tonight, we'll be with you in spirit.